Thank you, President Gladys B. Don Sampson, I'm from the Umatilla tribe of Oregon. Got you on that.
Of course.
We love you, Brian. One of the things I want to talk quickly about climate change. I work with the affiliated tribes of Northwest Indians on climate change. We have a bi-coastal collaborative with the folks from the United Southern and Eastern tribes. Any people here from USET? Yeah. So what part of the issue, of course, and I know Swinomish is one of the leaders in the Northwest dealing with climate change. And today and now we have huge impacts across Indian country. And we have one of the first tribes that are climate refugees in America. And that's the Biloxi Chittimachi Choctaw tribe down in Louisiana. They are now having to relocate from their homelands. We have other tribes, the Shishmaref village in Alaska, and 31 other Alaska Native villages who are being threatened all across the country, whether it be the Shinnecock Indian Nation in New York or your own tribe in Washington. We have now an administration that is a climate denier. We have Scott Pruitt, who's now the EPA administrator. How important in the priority list for NCI is climate change and continuing the progress that the Obama administration has made, not only in Paris, but working with tribes across the country? And how will we work with this new administration and Congress so that we can protect the gains we've made? And I hope you all will continue to support our efforts to address climate change and the impacts for our Native people.
That's a very good question, Don. You know, there's a certain segment of society that does not want to say the word climate change or global warming. Our board had a meeting with Senator Hovind's staff yesterday, and we talked to them about the impacts that tribes are experiencing because of this phenomenon. And I said to him, now, if there are certain segments of society that do not want to say those words, climate change, let's look at something else that we can call it from a tribal perspective. Let's say environmental impacts on indigenous communities. How does that sound? Environmental impacts on indigenous communities. We know it's happening. We see it happening. Our communities are place-based societies, and we are experiencing it firsthand. And so that was the discussion we had yesterday with them. Let's have a hearing. Let's have a discussion at the table talking about the environmental impacts on our indigenous communities, because it is affecting our way of life, as you have indicated. So we are slowly reaching out with this administration, and I don't believe the EPA administrator is confirmed yet, but we will be reaching out to him as soon as he is confirmed, and we'll be working through NCA and other tribal leaders to make sure that is addressed. Next question.
Get one of the gentleman right there in the blue shirt.
You. Microphone's coming, yes.
To you.
Yes. Yes, please.
Yeah.
Thank you. Matt Laszlo, Daily Beast and National Native News. I just wanted to know, what is your relationship now with the Trump? I guess now it's his staff is still getting confirmed, but with the transition team, have the channels that you had with the Obama administration, are they still open? And what are your fears going forward in this transition period to the new administration? And then also, what are your thoughts on the repeal and replace of Obamacare? What are you hearing from tribal members? Do you feel like you'll have a voice in that debate going forward?
Well, this isn't the first time that tribes have experienced a transition of power from one administration to the next and from one party to the next. And so we've always looked at our issues as nonpartisan. We've looked at our issues and seen that we've had friends on both sides of the aisle. You just heard Senator Hovind from the Republican Party talk about his priorities for Indian country. And so as NCAI goes forward with this administration, we're a single issue organization focusing exclusively on Indian issues. So we haven't got to the point yet where we are fearing this administration. This administration is still just starting. It's only 3 weeks old, but Jackie and her team has had many conversations with individuals before the president was inaugurated. The transition team came to our NCAI meeting in December, and it was the only meeting the transition team had with any group in the U.S., and that was the Native Americans. And so as far as the Obamacare, you know, it's no secret that the Republicans have passed 50 or 60 bills to repeal Obamacare that will have an impact on tribal communities, especially those tribal members who don't live in their areas, that live outside of their tribal communities, that rely on this. And so we'll make it very clear that we do have concerns. We've been assured, but we haven't seen it in writing yet, from individuals that say that the Indian Health Care Improvement Act, which was passed along with the Affordable Care Act in 2010, will not be ripped apart, taken away, or repealed. So we've heard that. We haven't seen it in writing. We haven't heard it from, you know, the highest elected officials, but we've heard it from our friends that they will protect our Indian Health Care Improvement Act. Next question.
I just want to clarify. So the meeting that, first of all, the meeting in December that tribes attended with the transition team was hosted by the Native American Caucus for the Trump transition, but it was on January 19th when we had our meeting with the six members of the transition team, and it was standing room only with tribal leaders. Thank you.
Chairman Buster Atterbury, Creek Tribe, located in Northern California. So kind of a comment and maybe get your opinion on it. I would just like to encourage all tribal leaders we have a big push to get the data that we need from tribes to help support health care and education. That's just two of the areas that I know that we've talked about. The Kurok tribe in particular, we're one of the tribes that serve the entire community or communities. We have three different locations for our health clinics, two locations for our dental clinics, but we lack the facilities. We have some unmet needs, and we're a non-reservation tribe. Education, sometimes we get overlooked. I know that has been a discussion at the TBIC meetings, and we appreciate that. There's possible set aside for 2018. But I would love to encourage the tribal leaders to get the data in. We recently had our Pacific Region TBIC meeting, and the push there was to get the tribes to get to know. We have a lot of small tribes right now. We're grant-based. If we're going to meet these unmet needs, we need to kind of go to more of a needs-based, and we do need that data. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman Atterbury. He's making a great point there, and this was one of the focuses on my speech. Infrastructure, infrastructure, infrastructure. As many of you have seen, this president is trying to work with this Congress to pass an aggressive infrastructure package. And I encourage all of Indian country, I encourage all of the leaders out there. When President Obama did his shovel-ready projects, his stimulus program, when he first came into office in 2009, some of the tribes were ready with their shovel-ready projects, and some of the tribes benefited from those projects. But other tribes were left behind, and we had needs back then, just like we have needs now. So I encourage you as tribal leaders, get your infrastructure needs documented, like a dental clinic, a medical clinic, a school. Those things have to be documented so we can show the need. If funding in the United States of America was based on need and statistics, we would have the highest funding of any segment of society, because we can show the need in healthcare, we could show the need in our education, we can show the need in our program. So that's a great question, Mr. Chairman, and I encourage all of you tribal leaders, please have your infrastructure projects that you need completed in Indian Country ready to go when this Congress passes that infrastructure bill spending.
So since we're talking about health a little bit, I just want to take a question from one of our online. This is from Dana. How do you see tribal sovereignty leading the way in health innovations? As an example, the dental health aid therapist program that you might have an announcement for.
Yes. So in the Indian Health Care Improvement Act in 2010, any Alaska natives here? Alaska started the dental health aid therapy program 10 years ago. About 6 years ago, I sent back here to Kellogg to learn about this program and meet dental therapists. And immediately I said, Swinomish needs this. Little did I know, in 2010, when the Indian Healthcare Improvement Act was passed, the American Dental Association, along with some of our friends here in DC at IHS and in the Senate and Congress, allowed the ADA to insert a poison pill in the Indian Healthcare Improvement Act that said, any tribe basically outside of Alaska in the lower 48 that wants to have a dental therapist program needs to go to your state legislature to get that paternalistic approval and okay. Very outdated way of doing business. And so not understanding that and being brought to my attention, we started introducing bills in Olympia to allow our tribes to have a therapy program. The American Dental Association last year killed the therapy program in 12 states. 12 states. They knew that if they got that poison pill in there, they could buy their legislators and destroy this. Last year, 2 years ago, I got so frustrated with the process that I told my team, just get me a therapy program. I don't care. And so last year on January 4th, the Swinomish tribe became the first tribe in the nation in the lower 48 to offer a therapy program without the approval of the state government or without approval of the federal government. And so I thank Kellogg for supporting that program. And it's not sustainable, though, because we did it on our own. We could not get IHS to pay for it, or we could not do third-party billings. That's why we needed permission from the state. And so about 4 weeks ago, the American Dental Association came to Swinomish and said, this year, we are not going to oppose your bill. We will not support it. We will stand down. So in short order, in the last 2 weeks, the bill was passed out of the House. It was passed out of the Senate. And when I go home, the governor will sign that bill. Yeah. And so I encourage all 567 tribes to look into this program, because it works in Alaska, it works in Swinomish, and it can work in your communities.
Mel, do you have a question?
Thank you very much. Mel Sheldon, Chairman of Tulalip Tribes. And one, I want to thank Jackie for your leadership, your day-to-day work at NCAI. Our hands up to you. And Mr. President, a big high five to you. Thank you for your leadership. And also, I'd like to take this time to thank Indian Country all over for their support to the Standing Rock Sioux. And Senator Hoven has mentioned some potential solutions, but I know that NCAI has been working on different ways to resolve this issue, and if we don't get a resolve, I'm sure that the protests this summer are going to be much larger. So, President, Mr. President, would you care to comment on potential resolutions?
Sure. You know, this has been one issue that has galvanized not only Indian Country, but the world. I just watching Michael Jackson's daughter and the Grammys last night that stood up and said, no Dapple. And, you know, that's the kind of attention this is getting. Chairman Archambault is taking a lot of grief right now, both externally because of his strong position on this, And NCAI has worked closely with the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe on this issue. One of the issues that we keep reiterating over and over is, let us be at the table early in the process, because we can show you what happens when tribes are not at the table. As many of you know, this project originally started with a pipeline going above Bismarck. And the people of Bismarck said no. The pipeline companies went and consulted with them. And the people of Bismarck says, no, we don't want this pipeline above our city because you might contaminate our water supply. So the company made the decision to move that pipeline a half a mile in front of an Indian reservation. And the last administration made the decision to make them do a full EIS. As many of you know, that was recently overturned, and the Corps allowed just last week the continuation of that pipeline underneath Standing Rock sacred grounds. And so the next move is we will continue to support, and they will go to the judge, ask for a temporary restraining order, and hopefully ask the judge to force them to do a full EIS going forward.
So there really is two solutions moving forward. One, of course, is the legal process, and we also know Cheyenne River has also joined in that legal process. The other one is the administrative process, and we're hoping that, you know, NCAI, with all of the tribes, got together during the consultations. We actually developed a 53-page document as part of those consultations of our that include our recommendations going forward. So we're hoping that the administration, the Interagency Council on the streamlined process for permitting and infrastructure, will take a look at those recommendations and include tribes rightfully in the process. Those will provide solutions, at least to the longer term issues. And we have time for a couple more questions.
Lance. And we'll go over here. Who else had a hand over here? Chairman?
Thank you, President Glasby. Lance Gums from the Shinnecock Indian Nation in New York. One of the points that has been overlooked, and I'm hoping that it'll get back on the agenda, is the Cartieri issue. That's a major issue for tribes like mine in the Northeast, and for tribes that have been recognized after 1934. And we need to keep that process moving. It seems to continue to be linked to gaming, and for us, it's not linked to gaming. This is about tribes like mine having the ability to acquire new lands. So I'd just like to hear, you know, what NCAI is going to do moving forward to educate not only the new administration, but to educate Indian country as well, as to what, you know, this means to tribes like mine and other tribes that are not able to take land into trust.
Thank you, Lance. And, you know, that's a very, very, the Cartieri issue has been going on way too long. NCAI provided testimony 2 years ago on this issue, and we spoke to the exact same thing that you're talking to, where we would hope for just a clean fix. That would be easy. But as you know, senators and congressmen and their constituents are throwing in gaming, land into trust, newly recognized tribes, and all those other issues. In our testimony 2 years ago, we said those are issues we need to have at the table to talk about, but let's do it in a different forum. And so we will continue to advocate. As you know, I believe we've had success in the on the House side, but the Senate side is the struggle for us. And that is where we need, as you know, 60 senators to support this. And that's been the uphill battle for us, to try to get that amount of senators to support a clean fix because of the issues you raised, the gaming issues, the land into trust issues, the newly recognized tribes issues that they're trying to throw into the clean Cartieri fix. So we'll continue to advocate for a clean fix this year. And we talked, as you know, yesterday with Senator Hovind's staff about that issue that was brought up.
We have time for one quick question.
Chairman?
Got it. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
First of all, thank you for the opportunity to address you. My name is Sean Chapoose. I'm the chairman of the Ute Tribe. We all know that we've had a national monument designated, which has been controversial. My tribe is one of the five tribes who participate in this. But I'd like it to bring the attention of you, which I know you've been supportive, but also the attack on lands within reservations and the public land debate. So I would hope going forward that NCI and all tribal leaders will pay close attention and continue to fight, because as you stated before in your speech, we as Indian people have been displaced throughout history. Our homelands are now basically attacked again. Mm-hmm. So I would hope, you know, that we as a nation, as Indian country, would stand united and protect what last refuge we all have. So with that, thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you, Chairman. You know, as I said in my speech, 1789, when that language was passed, we need to keep reminding these elected officials, we need to bring them a copy of that. And we need to tell them our story, how that promise wasn't kept. Because every single tribe in here has lost lands after we signed those promises. Every one of us. Many of us are still fighting to get recognized, re-recognized. There's a whole list of tribes out there that are still fighting to get their recognition. So, Chairman, we definitely need to continue to educate these new congressmen and the old congressmen. We need to show them the maps. We need to tell our story. One of the greatest role models I've ever had the opportunity to work with was the great Billy Frank Jr. And he always told us, tell your story, tell your story, tell your story. Never get tired of telling your story. Tell it over and over and over again. He says, because a lot of the times it'll go in one ear and out the other, and it might take you 10 times telling your story before they get it. And so we have to use our experiences and what happened to us as our story to hopefully make sure it doesn't happen again.
Thank you. So that's all the time we have for questions today at the audience. And once again, if we didn't answer your question, please see a member of our staff. We'll be glad to answer your question. Those that you have submitted questions online, we'll answer that, and we'll continue to answer questions throughout as we move forward. So we'd also like to ask you to take a look at our website. We have a number of the publications that were mentioned today posted on the website. And enjoy our Executive Council winter session here this week. Thank you very much, President Clatesby. Thank you all for being here with us. And thank all of you in Indian country who are watching. Gunashchish.
And thank you. And I would like to ask our board members that are here, if you could come right up here so we can get a picture. My board members, and then I know our NCAI staff, I need pictures with my NCAI staff too. So board members, come on up.